Elliot Friedman, who is brought to you by Eastside Kia, Calgary's largest Kia dealer. Get the 2014 Kia Rondo for $23,560 or $129 biweekly at 23rd and Barlow or at eastsidekia.ca. Now, after a late night covering hockey, Elliot Friedman joins us from where today, Elliot?
I'm at Wrigley Field today, Ryan. You can hear the music behind me. I have no idea what just happened. I moved away from the field. But I would like to stress to you and the people who pay me at the Fan 960 and all the great listeners from Calgary that this is a beer-free interview.
I don't believe you for one moment, although you're probably maybe even a little too tired after last night's game to get into it today. Would that be accurate?
I know it wasn't that bad. You guys who live like in Mountain or yeah. even further west, you know, but because those games start at 8 o'clock Eastern time, it's bad for us in the East, but when you're in the Central like we are or farther west like you guys are, it ain't that bad. I mean, the game finishes at, 10:30 your time last night? Perfect. Just crawl into bed, no problem. So not like it was one of those two Eastern games last night.
Yeah, it was. Well, let's get right to it for your thoughts on it. I mean, we saw triple overtime, the fifth longest game in Stanley Cup history. What did we learn from game one other than it was a marathon?
Well, I think the number one thing we learned was that, you know, if Boston's depth players don't do a better job of matching up with Chicago's depth players, I think the Bruins are in trouble. I really, you know, Andrew Shaw, of course, had the winner. Boland, who you guys know really well, but has been a third and fourth line guy since he got back, was a big factor. You know, Gregory Campbell being out for Boston, you know, really hurts them. And now Horton potentially being out really hurts them. And I thought the lower tier guys for Chicago, the Krugers, the Feliks, the Shaws, all those guys really outplayed the lower tier guys for Boston. And one of the reasons Boston's been as good as they've been over the last few years is because of their depth. They could roll four lines. But that third line right now, which is Peverly, Dokovins, and Sagan, is not giving them anything. And I really thought that was a big factor last night.
And normally I wouldn't criticize after one game, but we kind of got two games almost last night. And I guess now all of a sudden Chicago, if they had to start looking within, they probably are saying, okay, we'd like to see more from Kane and Taves, although I doubt there's very much panic at this point.
Well, you got your win. There's no question about that. You know, Taves is an interesting case. Like, he's not scoring, but I think he's really competing. Like, I watch him. He's playing both ends. He made some really good and smart defensive plays. He's really competing out there. And I think it's not a coincidence that when Kane got hot with four goals in the two games previous to this one, it's because they put him on Taves' line. And I see a use for Taves, even though he's not scoring. Kane, I really thought last night, Chicago early on was trying to do everything they could to get him the puck. Give it to Kane, get him going. And I think one of the reasons they got better was they kind of abandoned that strategy. I think both of those guys need to be better. I looked at the level that Hossa was at last night, and honestly, I thought he was the best non-goalie on the ice. And I just think that both of those guys have to hit a level that Hossa's hitting.
What do you think? What do you know? What are you hearing about Nathan Horton? Obviously, a big concern for the Bruins.
Well, I was in the hallway last night when he left the game, when he walked out of the Bruins dressing room, and he wouldn't have looked at him and said, there's a guy who suffered a bad injury. Like, he wasn't wearing a sling. He didn't. Like, I was in the hallway when he was injured against Vancouver in the Stanley Cup final. And you could see it was a significant injury, and he didn't play again. You know, last night, you didn't look at him, Ryan, and say, there's a guy who's in terrible distress. He walked it under his own power. He was not wearing a sling. He was in his suit. And the word we got today was, you know, you're not going to get any definite information, but we could see him again this series. I don't know if it'll be as soon as Saturday, but the Bruins, from what I understand, what they told me is they were unwilling to rule him out the rest of the way.
Interesting. Okay, well, obviously everybody taking a deep breath covering that series and in that series with a little bit of a break. Let's switch gears just for a minute. The other news today, Evgeny Malkin re-ups, extends with the Pittsburgh Penguins. I mean, I don't know how close this was to ever not happening, but this is just a huge move, I guess, for the Penguins and a pretty big payday for Evgeny Malkin.
I always believed it was going to happen, Ryan. I believed it last year. I believed it now. I never believed the cage stuff, and I never believed the trade stuff. I just think that he's too good a player, and Crosby's health is too uncertain for them ever to make that move. And I will tell you this. When I saw the cap hit 9.5, I was pleasantly surprised because I thought it was going to be higher. And, you know, Evgeny Malkin had every reason in the world to say, look, the contracts have changed. You owe me more. You've got to pay me a bit more because you can't do with me what you did with Crosby. And at the end of the day, he ate it. And he, you know, nobody's going to feel sorry for Evgeny Malkin making $9.5 million a year. But I'll tell you this, if he wanted it, the Penguins probably could have given him more, and he didn't. And I think what happened was his agent went to Pittsburgh on Saturday. He was leaving to Russia after they got knocked out of the playoffs, and he said, I want this done before I leave. And so I think the agent and the Penguins, J.P. Barrie's a Calgary guy, worked a lot over the past couple of days to see if they could get this done and find a way. I believe it was always their intention to do it. I believe it was his intention always to do it. And I wasn't surprised at all it got done so quickly. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if Letang's extension is now done in reasonably short order.
Yeah, I wanted to get to that. Malkin's deal, $76 million, 8-year deal, kicks in 2014, yep. 2015. You wonder where the cap yep. will be at that point. But, yeah, what does it mean for Christopher Letang?
I think his deal is going to get done. We were there last week doing a piece on him, and we were told that, you know, they won't talk to him until they finish talking to Malkin. They told Letang's agent, we're going to get Malkin done first, and then we're going to deal with you. And that's the pattern that they have followed. I think Letang wants to stay. I think he'll find a way to stay. His number will be obviously less than both Crosby and Malkin's. I think it'll come in somewhere between 6 and 7. But I think Chris Letang wants to be a Pittsburgh Penguin. And like Malkin, he will instruct his agent to find a way to get it done. You know, people will look at Letang and the playoffs he played this year, in the final four games against Boston, and say that's crazy. I think it's crazy to look at it any other way. He had 16 points in the first two rounds. You can't find guys like that, Ryan. They're very hard to find. I'd rather have a wild horse that I had to tame than trade him and watch him put up ridiculous numbers somewhere else. I think Chris Letang can be taught. I think he can be worked with. He's a competitive guy. He cares. He tries hard. And I believe they'll find a way to get that deal done.
Okay, in Phoenix, a little bit of a surprise, but maybe not, because we know at this time of year it seems to be the annual topic, almost weekly topic, but it always comes up this time of year, and that is the Phoenix situation. How surprised were you that Bill Daly and Gary Bettman sort of both copping to the idea that it's possible that the Coyotes are not in Phoenix next season?
Boy, aren't you sick and tired of this story?
Yes, yes, we are.
Oh, my God, I am so tired of this story. I think they were sending their shot across the bow. Right. Like, it's serious this time. And I believe that when they say that it's – when Daly came out and said what he said yesterday, that said to me, they honestly are thinking that they might not be able to get the deal they want from the city council in Glendale. Glenn Healy has said, and I think he's absolutely right, that they've asked the city council in Glendale for $16 million a year. And the city council has said, not a chance, but we will do 6. And so now we're into poker. What does 6 mean? There's room to move up. Does 16 mean there's room to move down? And I think, you know, after the formal part of the media conference was over, Daly said to a couple of reporters, and I was there, that they might know by the end of the week, as in tomorrow, where they really are. And I do think there is a possibility that team is not playing in Phoenix next year. And I think the comments yesterday indicated that they know they may have to move the team.
Any, I guess, and again, it's the age-old question. We're asking you to speculate. Maybe you can't. But have you heard any potential on this discussion of where that might be? Any lead horse?
It is my personal belief, Ryan, that if they move the team, they will move it to Seattle.
Okay.
That's my belief, that if they go anywhere, they're going there. I think they want Quebec City to be an expansion team, and I think right now they don't want to screw around with the realignment if they can avoid it. I think it's their preference to keep that team in the West. And if you were asking me to bet, like, Ryan, if you were asking me to put $50 down or my house or something like that, I would do it on Seattle.
Right. Okay. Interesting.
But I do believe this, Ryan. I believe they will exhaust every possibility to keep that team in Phoenix before they move it. I think that's what they will do.
Boy, and it sure seems like they have. Here's Ryan Pinder with a question for you, Elliot.
Ryan. How you doing,
this
Elliot?
This better be good, okay? This better be good. I've heard you ask good questions, so I'm expecting a good question.
Oh, boy, you're missing baseball for it, too. It's got to be really good. Pressure's on. My nightmare is that the NHL will announce after the finals that their conferences are going to be named after corporate company names. Do you see that as an option? What are they going to do with the conference namings?
I don't believe they'll do that. I think it's interesting that they were not willing to name them during the Stanley Cup Finals, because you know Bettman doesn't like doing things during the Stanley Cup Finals that get a lot of attention. So I'm curious to see what that means. But no, I don't think he would do that. I always could be wrong, I guess, but I don't think he would do that. I think. You know, the one thing Bettman doesn't like is people saying that he doesn't care about the game, or he isn't a fan of the game, or he's not a caretaker of the game. Whether he is or isn't, he gets his back really up when you accuse him of that. I think he knows if he did that, the blowback would be ridiculous. And I think that I would bet Ryan, and I hope I'm right, that it is a lot tamer than that.
Yeah, and I don't think that they would name them regionally at this point. Why would you wait this long just to call them Pacific, Central, Eastern Atlantic?
Well, I believe that's what the plan was. By the way, this noise behind me is Ed Olczyk doing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Could you just hold your phone out there for us so we can enjoy?
Sure, absolutely. Let me go move closer. Yeah.
This is good.
Can you hear this?
Yeah, yes, that's awesome.
Can. That is...
Okay, one sec. Hold on. I'm going to move closer.
This is radio gold.
I'm here with Tim Houston, and we're sitting in the bleachers. And they announced that Olczyk was going to do it. So I texted him. I said, you know, Enzo, we're here. We're looking forward to this. And all he said back was, no booing.
No boos and no booing.
It would be divisional names if they've changed it. I'm not aware of it yet, but I'm looking for the info as much as you guys are.
All right, thanks.
Elliot, we'll let you get back to the ball game. We're sorry for slowing you down. It sounds like a perfect way to spend an off day.
Not a problem.
Enjoy it. We'll talk to you next week, and enjoy the series. It's been a fantastic opener. We'll talk to you very soon.
All right, Ryan, have yourselves a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
Hey, you too. Take care. There he is, Elliot Friedman, joining us.